This is the Trending Topics Network very own trending mobile technology, and I am your host, Piper the DJ, sitting right here on the horn with you. This is episode 88, coming after you after a very long hiatus. Jumping right into it, we got a lot of stuff going on. I'm in the process of redoing the show again. I know this happens once every 2 to 3 months, but you know, I'm constantly trying to improve my game, step things up, make things better, make things more informative, and just keep things interesting. As always, you can find Trending Mobile Technology right here on the Trending Topics Network, where you've got lots of great shows like Old School Movies, The Spanish Announce Table, Tunes is Return. I mean, we got the Waka Waka Gaming Network and various other things coming after you on a regular basis. Once again, make sure you're reaching out to me on Google Plus as Piper the DJ and on Twitter under the same handle. Jumping right into it, since the last time we spoke, now understand this, since the last time we spoke, there's been a lot of things that have happened. You remember me talking about SoftBank wanted to buy T-Mobile. Well, then they said they didn't want to do it, okay? Sprint, SoftBank has a parent company of Sprint. They came up. We all recognize the fact that Dan Hesse, who is a former CEO of Sprint, and I say former CEO of Sprint because he is no longer. About 2 weeks ago, Dan Hesse stepped down. He is no longer the head taco at Sprint. Here's what's going on. SoftBank, after a very lengthy silence, many rumors, they finally laid them to rest and said, okay, look, we are not interested in Sprint. I'm sorry, no. They said we're not interested in T-Mobile. This is SoftBank's talking. They said we're not interested in T-Mobile anymore because, you know, well, obviously it's not going to be very lucrative. There were a couple different things that came out in the wash. You know, they said that they were going to take over T-Mobile, start a merger between them and Deutsche Telekom, who happens to be the parent company to T-Mobile. Now understand something. It didn't even make it to FCC regulation, okay? This is all in the preliminary, not even getting it off the ground conversation. These guys were just sitting there throwing numbers around. SoftBank threw some numbers to Deutsche Telekom. T-Mobile didn't even come into it. The initial proposition, actually about the third proposition that I read about concerning this situation, was Sprint and T-Mobile were going to merge together. This was a conversation that was being conducted between SoftBank and Deutsche Telekom, both parent companies to two U.S. airtime providers, okay? They were supposed to get together. Dan Hesse was to be replaced with John Ledger. John Ledger, remember, for those playing the home game, is the CEO of T-Mobile. Good thing, bad thing, ugly thing, not very favorable as far as I'm concerned. John Ledger is doing a very good job where he's at with what he has. He's moving T-Mobile forward. I think that would be a very bad move for T-Mobile. But didn't even make it to FCC regulation after all the speculation, various other things like that. SoftBank withdrew their offer off the table. T-Mobile is still standing on their own. However, Dish has come up saying, okay, so SoftBank doesn't want them. We might want to. Dish stepped up to the plate. They said, okay, you know, not that too awful big a thing. You know, Sprint, I've ranted and railed I don't know how many times about Sprint, but everybody clean out your ears right now. They have been making some improvements to their network. That's not only coming from me in this area, but there's also people I've been in contact on a broader scale in the regional, not as far as national yet, but in the regional area, who've cited that they are getting better Sprint reception than what they were. This 8x8 service looks like it is being a good thing. It looks like things are improving. For those that are interested in saving some money with Sprint, they have a brand new $100 plan that's for 10 phones. You get 10 gigs to cover over those 10 phones. Here's the fine print. All the phones have to be new devices. They can either be subsidized or unsubsidized. The 10 gigs must be split evenly between the phones, which means you get 1 gig per line. There's no official documentation on this, but here's the thing. When you walk into a Sprint store, citing that you want this concept, this plan, they have all these listings of things that you have to do. You have to be free of your current plan, new line of service only, new phones, the great big list of things. It's confusing, it's crazy, to a point even where the folks at T-Mobile, John Ledger, came out and said, can you make your new plan, which is supposed to be exciting, a little bit less confusing, implying that they're intentionally trying to be either shady, shifty, deceptive, I'm not quite sure, but either way, the quote came out, if you're going to make a plan, say what you're going to do. Customers are coming back, can you say, quote, can you be any more unclear? Why don't you just go back to the family or the friends and family or whatever the heck it is? And yes, folks, I say, why don't you just go back, for the simple fact that just as quickly as it came in, flash in the pan, it went out. The Sprint family plan, I believe, is no more. Lots of events coming up here in the very near future. 3 September, the new Samsung event, Unpacked event 2.0. Simulcast in Berlin, Beijing, and New York, citing, quote, note the date. We're expecting the Galaxy Note 4. We're also expecting another wearable. Am I excited about this event as a Note 2 user? Unfortunately, no. Conversation with many people, including Mr. Old School around there, the Samsung rose-colored glasses have been removed from my eyes. Okay, to be completely honest, when the next line of Nexus comes out or Project Aura, that's probably where my money's going to wind up going. I am sick and tired of the Samsung sauce. I'm getting tired of the sauce that's come out with all these other OEMs and bogging down everything that's out there when it comes to Android. Yes, I'm still an Android user. Yes, I still support the Google framework and the ecosystem that Google has in place. Okay? The problem is all these other OEMs, airtime providers, distributors are saucing it up. They're making it crazy. I mean, psychotically insane to get anywhere. I mean, some of these Samsung devices are so low end, they're not even able to get the 4.4X build, all right? And they're coming out of the box with 4.3. I mean, really? We're looking at L right now, which, by the way, many people are speculating is lemon meringue pie, LMP. It is 5.0. We haven't gotten that far yet because there is no actual official announcement. Many people were saying that K was supposed to be key lime pie, and it actually turned out to be Kit Kat. Some people are speculating for Lemonhead. Other people are speculating for Lollipop. We don't know. Until the folks in Google actually make an announcement, at this point in time, it is still going to be Android L. However, back to Unpacked. 3 September, Samsung, their simulcast. As long as they don't do singing and dancing again, I should be okay. Expected full device breakdown when that comes in, which will be next week. Motorola on 4 September is going to have their press event, which is going to come the day after Samsung and 2 days before Apple. Motorola event, the invitation citing, quote, the X phone, a G phone, and the watch. Obviously, we knew the watch was going to be coming out, the 360. Those of us who were in tune with what happened at Google I.O. recognize the fact that the Motorola 360 is supposed to be coming out. That is the new Android Wear device that is manufactured by Motorola. Many people are speculating. Now, once again, understand, I don't run on speculation, but they are entertaining some of them. Some folks are speculating that there's going to be a new X phone. They're also speculating that the new Nexus might be coming out of the Motorola camp. However, HTC also looks promising for the new Nexus device as well. No word yet. Current speculation looking at October, November, in time for Christmas. We're not sure yet. But also, 6 September, we're looking at an Apple event. Rumors are talking about a new phone, new tablet. Both devices are supposed to be bigger and more efficient. This is a thing that's coming a little crazy with a lot of people. The number one complaint Apple users have, bar none, the phone is too small. The screen size isn't what they want. It's not what they expect. Now, granted, it works. It just works. It does what it's supposed to. It acts the way that it's supposed to. It functions properly. If you're one of those that is in the, 40 or 50% where the iCloud services work correctly, they're looking at a bigger phone. 5.5 inches, I think. 5.5 inches is right about the sweet spot on a device. My Note 2, it feels good in the hand. It fits in my pocket nicely. It feels good. You get anything over 6 inches, I think that's going to be too big because then you're getting tablet size. Remember I told you long time ago, I carried around a Kindle Fire in my back pocket for a month to see what it felt like. I didn't really like it. It's a little big. I've seen the Galaxy Mega. I've seen the Galaxy Max. They're too big as far as I'm concerned. People look at my Note 2 still and say, that's a big phone. And for me to look at a phone bigger than that and say, that's a big phone, how do you use that? Now, everybody has a device that works for them, okay? Everybody has a device that works for them. The beauty of this industry, whether you're Microsoft, Apple, Android, doesn't matter. If you don't like one feature in one device, you can shop around and find a different feature in another device. Granted, you might have to jump operating systems, but you'll find something that you like. I use Mr. Old School quite often. He started with BlackBerry. For the longest time, he and I went back and forth on BlackBerry. He is now on Microsoft Windows Mobile. A lot of people, they talk iOS. They go to Android for various reasons. And vice versa. People go from Android to iOS and Android to Windows Mobile. Why? They have their reasons. The biggest thing going against a lot of OEMs at this time is screen real estate. Some people want bigger phones. Others, they have their own determination as to how big. My opinion, anything over 5.5 inches, I think is going to get too big. It's going to get clunky, it's going to get awkward, and it's just going to be too obtrusive. And it's going to make it a theft point, okay? Think of it this way. You take a 7-inch device out of your pocket, people are going to notice it, all right? iPhones are high theft. Why? Because they're in high demand. You get a 7-inch phone? I mean, think about this, folks. 7-inch phone. That is the size of my Nexus, all right? I mean, I can't help but remember first conversation Mr. Old School and I had when it came to mobile tech. Eventually, we're going to hold laptops up to our head. Now, granted, that's an exaggeration, all right? But holding a 7-inch device up to my head to make a phone call, I think is too much. Keep it down between 5 and 5.5 inches. Everything should be okay. So switching back, Apple is having an event, 6 September, citing bigger stuff. Project Nexus announcements, as I said, you're looking October, December, probably looking to have somewhere in time for Christmas. All right. There's supposed to be another consumer electronics show sometime between October, November. They'll probably be ready to hit the markets in time for Christmas, so it could be under the Christmas tree for those Nexus enthusiasts. This one might be a little old, but Facebook Messenger, they have separated their Messenger app from the Facebook app in itself. And shortly after that, they changed their terms of service again, much to the chagrin of many Facebook users. To a point where they said, hey, you know, you install this app, we can activate your camera when we want to. We can activate your GPS when we want to. We can listen to what you're listening to and broadcast it out to people on your timeline if we want to. Many creative liberties that many individuals in their own right, some people might want to live like that. That's perfectly fine. That's not me, all right? I'm not a big Facebook user to start with. I haven't used the Facebook app in a very long time for the simple fact that it is a hell of a drain on any device battery that's out there. People having battery issues saying, oh, I'm not making it anywhere near what they're advertising. Uninstall a Facebook app for a week and see if there's any difference. I guarantee you're going to notice a significant difference right away. Anyhow, Facebook Messenger. Here's the way it works. That app can access your mic, your speaker, your GPS, your location tracking, Wi-Fi, camera, and just about any other sensor that is in your device at any given time for what? Rebroadcast on your timeline. Why? Why would I want people to know when I'm not home? Why would I want people to know what I'm listening to? Why would anybody care what I'm listening to? People who need to get in contact with me know where I am. People who need to find me, who can check up on me, know where I'm at and know how to check up on me and know how to get a hold of me. Anybody else? Sorry, I'm not that plugged into social media. And as far as I'm concerned, it's none of your damn business. Facebook, you have no right to do this. And now understand, some people are okay with it. Some people don't know that it's happening, all right? Make sure you're understanding your terms of service, you're going into your settings, and you're shutting that crap off and opting out of it because it is on by default. You install that app, load it up, that application has access to all these sensors. You can go into your settings and opt out of them. All right. Understand. Make sure you know. There's a lot of people, they put those things on. Oh yeah, accept. Okay. All right. Accept. Understand. Okay. Oh, terms of service update? No big deal. Understand what you're getting into, folks. Recognize the fact that privacy on the internet is a paradox. A few weeks ago, Mr. Old School and I, we went back and forth concerning security. We talked about it a lot. Security is a very important thing to a lot of people. And I'm not saying, yes, you can be safe. Yes, you can be secure. Yes, there's a way around it. There isn't really. Privacy on the internet is a paradox. If any device makes contact with the internet through a wireless connection, any way, shape, or form, there is a likeliness that it is very insecure. Make sure you know what's going on, folks. Just trying to educate the masses. That is all. Google Now Launcher. I've talked about it quite often. It's actually classified or known by many people as GEL. That's available on the Play Store if you have a particular device. It is still available out there on the internet if you are interested in sideloading it and you can't. Your particular device isn't available for it. It is on the Play Store, I believe, for Nexus devices and Google Experience devices. So if you have a device, perhaps, TouchWiz. Yeah, something like a Samsung device that's just full of the Samsung sauce. Guarantee you will not find the Google Experience launcher on the Play Store. However, make Google your friend. Look for GEL, which is Google Experience Launcher. You can download it, sideload it on your device, launch it, automatically install it, and continue to utilize it from there. Android Device Manager has also updated itself. This is one of those applications that when it first came out, I was really hesitant. And if many people remember, when it first hit the market, I said, wait, pump the brakes on it. Because when the first build came out, I wasn't really sure what to think about it. But then the second build came out, the third build came out, and the abilities and the qualities and the securities and the administrative privileges that this application brought along with it started to appeal to me. And there's another update that came down with Android Device Manager, and here's what it does. It gives you, as a user, the ability to remotely access your device from any other Android device. Let me say that again. You may remotely access your device from any other Android device. Now, it used to be you could only access your device from your dashboard, your desktop dashboard. I look at everybody and I kind of raise my eyebrows for the simple fact that I have a generic family account that I have created specifically for Android Device Manager. Every Android device in the house is logged onto this account, and I can locate any device with Android Device Manager, whether it be mine, my wife's, sons, daughters, doesn't matter. I can locate that device. 9 times out of 10, the individual that I'm looking for is close to that device. Why I would need a remote login, in case I'm hanging out at the bar with a buddy of mine, my phone gets lifted, I can use his device to lock into my phone. Whatever, however it works. They've also placed an Android Device Manager to where the password is automatically erased every time you log out of it. So, if somebody happens to see you put in your little password or your pattern or your PIN number or whatever, they can't get into Android Device Manager without your actual legitimate password. So make sure LastPass is your friend in this case, or if you want to use an actual alphanumeric, use that at your own discretion. The new Tegra Shield tablet did hit the market very recently, getting very above standard ratings at this point. So the Tegra Shield tablet is the ultimate tablet designed by gamers for gamers with a whopping price of $299. The NVIDIA Shield tablet, perfect mix of power, portability, and performance. It does. It is compatible, obviously, with the Shield wireless controller. It will run complete 1080p, and check out these specs. Many people are giving this device way above good ratings, okay? 8 on 10, 9 on 10, depending on who you talk to. Everything that I've read is well over 7.5, all right? Check out this processor. It's got the NVIDIA Tegra K1 192 core Kepler GPU with a 2.2 gigahertz ARM Cortex A15 CPU with 2 gigs of RAM. Outstanding for a tablet. 8-inch display, 1920 by 1200 multi-touch with full HD. It's got front-facing speakers with bass reflex. It's got 32 gigs on board. There comes a Wi-Fi and an LTE base on the 32 gig. You get the 16 gig, you're looking at Wi-Fi only. Obviously, it comes with 802.11n with 2-in, 2-out, Bluetooth 4.0LE with GPS and all the respective sensors that go with it. There is a Wi-Fi and 4G LTE version and a Wi-Fi version with onboard mini HDMI out, micro USB 2, micro SD, and a 3.5 millimeter microphone slot. Comes with a micro SD as well as all the accommodating sensors that you might desire for a tablet. Now, here's the thing that caught my attention. Features compatible with the Shield wireless controller, compatible with NVIDIA GameStream, compatible with NVIDIA ShadowPlay, compatible with Grid Cloud Gaming, compatible with console mode, which means you can link that up with your popular Xbox or PlayStation, compatible with GamePad Mapper applications and software. All this just for gaming, folks. I mean, this is a powerhouse of a tablet. This wouldn't be one designed for an individual like me for the simple fact I don't do awful much on games. Yes, I'm playing Fruit Ninja. Yes, I'm still playing Tekken Card. Damn you, Obi. Yes, I still have, I've started playing Cyclone 2000, which for those old schoolers is the Android equivalent to Tempest. all right? But this full motion video, if you play a lot like Tomb Raider, Tomb Runner, whatever game that requires a lot of processes, that requires a lot of full motion, it's very intense on your processor, this is definitely something to step up. If you're looking for cameras, it's got a 5 megapixel in the front, 5 in the back. Nothing too awful serious and spectacular, but if you're playing games, what do you really need it for? I mean, if you need the occasional Skype call or the occasional video conference call, this will get by. It will do 4K Ultra HD. It's compatible already. You do have a Direct Stylus 2 with 3D paint, and that is also included. There are also, you're getting upgrades directly from NVIDIA. And your battery, 19.75 watt hours. That converts, listen, that converts to 5 hours solid full motion video game play. Alright? It is currently running the Android KitKat operating system, which I believe is 4.4. It is also compatible with the Play Store, NVIDIA Shield Hub, Trine 2, multi-language handwriting recognition, NVIDIA Dabbler, Just Right, Evernote, Adobe Reader, and Camera Awesome. Currently available for North America, unlocked, and unlocked outside North America with a slew, I mean a slew, of bands that it is compatible with, not only US but also UK. Now, many people that are out there know that I spend a considerable amount of time researching stories. And this story hit my desk by my better half, to be completely honest. And we all know about wearables. A lot of people like them, some people don't. Everybody has their own opinion when it comes to wearables. Now, typically speaking, when we're talking about wearables, we're talking about a watch. Typically, we also talk about glasses. If you're in Google Glass, Samsung has their Galaxy Gear. They've got the Galaxy Fit. There's the LG G Watch. There's the Moto 360 that's coming out. Okay. Some people are even classifying some forms of Bluetooth headsets as a wearable. Pedometers. To be completely honest, were the original wearables because people wanted to keep track of their steps. They wanted to know how far they were traveling. You know, hook them on your belt or put them on your shoe or, you know, see how many steps. Personally speaking, I could never get them to work if I hooked it on my belt. If I wanted to know how many steps I was taking, I had to hook it onto my ankle because there was enough motion with my ankle to get it to actually register and do what it was supposed to do. This story came in, and if the date on it tells you anything, it's a little out there, considering the last time that I broadcast. Date on this was 7 August. Headline citing, quote, "This is a pedometer for your penis." That's right, guys. I told you, a wearable for your manhood. Story goes on citing, quote, "Wearable technology is changing the way we understand the way we sleep and do fitness. But up until now, nothing has changed the way we think about sex. Introducing brand new product, SexFit, a vibrating cock ring by a UK-based company that increases pleasure while simultaneously tracking your X-rated fitness." Now, pause a second. Two things struck me as interesting about this story, and I haven't even gotten into the whole thing. Number one, UK-based business. So, of course, what do? I reached out to the guys in the UK. Sent one out to only one Mart, only one Jabroni. Mart writes back, says, question is, where can I get one? He also asks, quote, "Can I text the missus phone if it hasn't been used in a while?" Only one Jabroni, and I always enjoy his responses. Quote, "I would consider purchasing this device if I had a rock solid, see what he did there? The NSA or UK equivalent wouldn't have access to monitoring it or the manufacturer. He would love to gamify. He would love to gamify how much he masturbates and the intercourse that he has. This thing would love to post achievements and leaderboards. But for right now, he would rather stick to a regular cock ring. Fact? Fiction? I don't know. Definitely a topic of discussion. I mean, you think about this. Wearables and technology. And I'm getting into this here really quick. Wearables are becoming more and more saturated in our life, in everything we do. And it's been that way for decades. Like I said, I mentioned the pedometer. People want to know how many steps they were taking. You research any type of diet, health, medical, whatever, and majority of authorities will cite that sex is one of the most healthy things that you can do. I mean, I read an article, this was years ago, but I read an article all the way down to the amount of calories burned by putting on a condom. So if they want to take that to the opposite extreme, how many do you burn per thrust? How many do you burn by doing this or that or whatever? If they can break this down and, as Obi says, gamify the whole thing, leaderboards, achievements, well, that might be a little bit too far. But you understand what I'm saying. It was only just a matter of time before we got this far. Now, understand, the fun just doesn't stop there. It does have an app that goes with it to provide users with information about calories burnt during intercourse and thrusts per minute. So for those of you that might think you're going too fast or too slow or something of that nature, this will coach you along. In the event that your lady's not communicating that information to you properly. Now, understand, the fun does not stop there. According to the press release, quote, much like other similar fitness tracker innovations, the SexFit allows the most dedicated users to share and compare their favorite sessions and impressive individual milestones with their peers on social media. Pause. That might work for some people, but for me, no thanks. What I do in the bedroom, I do in the bedroom. There's a reason why I shut the door. Now, some people, I can understand, gamification, milestones, achievements, things of that nature. I got it. Currently, the device is still a prototype, so you're going to have to wait. But many people are already talking about getting their hands on this device. When it actually hits the shelves, if it does, it will be out in black, white, and pink in a one size fits most situation. It will come equipped with LED performance indicator lights, personal trainer and vibration mode, the downloadable app, Wi-Fi connectivity controls, Bluetooth connectivity controls, and built-in control for, quote, on-the-go adjustment. Not quite sure what you would need with on-the-go adjustment, but I'm sure somebody will find a use for it in the long term. Folks, keep an eye out for this product. I would be interested to know. Personally, not for me, but I would be interested to know what this device does and how it operates. this next story coming in, and I actually followed this story for an entire month because when I first read it, I didn't believe it. But this story has been updated about once a week for the past month. Headline citing, quote, cocky jogger thinks she's funny with penis-shaped running routes. Let me say that again. Cocky jogger thinks she's funny with penis-shaped running routes. That's right, folks. If you're in the fitness tracker scene, many people who utilize Runkeeper or Walkalot or any of those GPS tracking apps that link to either a wearable or a phone or something of that nature, you can track your route. And when you get back home, you can log in and see what you've actually done. You can actually, it'll actually draw the route for you. You know, you went through the park, you went this way 3 blocks, you turned left, you went this way 6 blocks, you took another left, you went this way 3 blocks, you took another left, and you went that way for 6 blocks. Well, if you listen to what I was saying, you did a big rectangle. 3 blocks by 6 blocks by 3 blocks by 6 blocks. If you took the time to plan out your route properly, according to this article, you could actually do some pretty interesting drawings. The article starts out, quote, they say running releases endorphins. Now it's helping one woman release her, quote unquote, dirty, creative side. A clever jogger who tried her normally monotonous running routes decided to spice things up by turning her runs into doodles, many of which just happened to be phallic-inspired. Running drawings like Nike Plus, GPS app which measures distance, the maps of a jogger's route within a line, etc. She utilizes these and it draws pictures. She started out just doing dogs and then she wound up advancing on. The first foray into the medium of run draw was a depiction of a corgi, a little dog, which he posted on Instagram in June. Things quickly devolved from there. She did a 4.94-mile run around San Francisco that she posted on Instagram in the shape of a penis. That took 52 minutes. She had another one where the penis was pointed the other direction, which was a little over 5 miles. She didn't even attempt to draw George Washington's head, but said it turned out a little bit like a Mennonite. She did one where it looked like she was flying the bird. That was 3.16 miles. She did one where it looked like it was a little alien from Space Invaders, which was 5.59 miles. Now, many of these you can find on Tumblr. You can also find them on Run Drawing. That is what this new fad is called. The user's name is Claire Wyckoff. That is W-Y-C-K-O-F-F. If you're interested in more run drawings, make sure to give her a look up. She looks to be a rather interesting individual, to be completely honest. To take this amount of time and planning to get in to make sure that this looks and operates the way that it's supposed to. Here's another one that I've been following throughout the course of the month. This one coming in hot off of OnePlus. Yes, OnePlus. That's a Cyanogen Mod-based phone that has mid-range specs that operates on a very vanilla experience. This one coming in off 12 August, citing, quote, in true gentleman fashion, because chivalry is not dead, we at OnePlus are giving the ladies of OnePlus a chance to skip the invite line and introduce themselves to us. Ladies, and ladies only, sorry guys, ladies are first, The rules are simple. Draw the OnePlus logo on a piece of paper or on your hand or face or wherever, just to make sure that we know that it's really you. Take a photo of yourself with the OnePlus logo clearly visible. Post the photo. The 50 most well-liked ladies will receive an invite and a Never Settle t-shirt. Additionally, we'll be giving out 100 other invites randomly to any lady who participates in this contest. And then they go on to give the beginning and ending date. And then they find that they post at the very end, ladies, no nudity, please. Yes, please, no nudity. If you restrain yourself from submitting pornography to the internet for the sake of winning an early invite to purchase this phone, we at OnePlus would be mighty appreciative if you did not. Now, this PR campaign from OnePlus, two different sides we can look at this. Number one, they're all just being sexist pigs. The other side, they're trying to appeal to the female community. Many women took offense to this because of the context that it was taken. Press release came straight out of the OnePlus camp, citing, quote, "We recognize that women make up half the world, and we want to help them become more involved in tech. We understand our contest was in bad taste and therefore have removed it. All participants will be contacted for prizes." Now, I look at this, when I first read this story, I thought it would be a good PR campaign. I didn't realize that so many people would get so ripped up over something like this. Yes, there is a very long waiting list for this device. I mean, $350, you can't beat it. Invite only? Seriously? All right? A lot of women, they're running around carrying, some of them are still carrying older phones, but they're not too excited to upgrade to a current top-of-the-line device. Now, OnePlus, I look at this from the perspective that OnePlus understands that women are going to talk to each other. Women are also very competitive amongst each other as well. Understand this. So if they see that one has a really good device, perhaps a device that's better than what they're currently carrying, they're going to go out and try and get it. Now, the means that they might attempt to exercise might be a little outstanding. But you also need to understand that at the same time, I believe this contest was taken in good faith. Now, granted, I am the ultimate optimist here, okay, so I give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Some people got a hold of this, and they got their panties in a twist. Much similar to their destroy your phone and we'll give you a new one campaign. If you remember back when the OnePlus first came out, they came out with a PR campaign citing, smash your phone, videotape it, post it to YouTube, send us a link, and we will send you a new one. What they failed to mention was there was some fine print to go along with it. That perhaps, oh, once we receive that clip, if we like it, we'll put you into a drawing. On the flip side to this, advancing the OnePlus logo, advancing smart device awareness, I think that this was done in good taste. Okay? They were very specific. They said no nudity. They said we will place you in a drawing. We will be selective. We will pick 50 for a phone. We'll pick 100 for t-shirts. I mean, I've heard both sides of the story. I've heard some women get up in arms and go irate over this. At the same time, I've heard other women say, yeah, it'd be nice to have that device. So this is one of those things where you're placed in an opinion, where you need to determine for yourself. Now, personally speaking, the first PR campaign they did, I was not determined in any way, shape, or form to take a club to my device. I'm not that kind of individual. I am not going to go out and blatantly destroy one device for another. All right? I'm a firm believer in repurposing my devices. I will do that, and I will continue to utilize my device until A, it no longer functions, or B, I no longer have a use for it. This Smash Your Device campaign that they went on to get everybody to break their devices, to get them put into this drawing. Honestly, folks, if you're going to take your device, put it in a vise, and hit it with a bat, post that clip to YouTube in hopes that a new manufacturer is going to send you a device, knowing that this is a national competition, you are out of your damn mind. I mean, really, guys? Yeah, I've got this $600 phone here that's a year old, but I'm going to hit it with a baseball bat in hopes that these new guys will send me this vanilla device. I mean, some of the clips I watched concerning that campaign were actually pretty funny, pretty interesting. Whether it was legitimate competition, I don't know. But why? Why? Hey, break your device and we'll send you a new one. Really? No. So, fast forward to the second campaign. Some people like it, some people don't. Is it the objectification of women? Is it not? Is it turning it into a beauty contest versus not? No. Very simple. No nudity. Okay? But be creative in your representation of the OnePlus logo. That's what it looked like to me. Who can be the most creative in displaying the OnePlus logo in good taste? I don't see what the problem is. Put it on a t-shirt, tie-dye it on a shirt, put it on a tie. I mean, there's so many different things that you could do with this. And, you know, I'm not saying one way or the other, folks. I didn't have a problem with this campaign. However, there were many people that I know on both a personal and non-personal basis that had issue with this campaign. So that's one thing that came in and went out and had issues going on from there. Now, with everybody coming out doing all their throttling, I've ranted and railed against Verizon a couple different times concerning their throttling. T-Mobile has actually released a press release citing that they're going to start throttling their customers. But, listen. T-Mobile is throttling their customers that use an excess amount of data. This is geared primarily towards customers who are downloading torrents. Now, first, I ask, why are you downloading torrents on a mobile device? Number one. Number two, are you really getting that good a speed? Now, to answer both of those questions. Number one, why are you downloading torrents? Because some people have their devices rooted and they utilize their Android device as a mobile hotspot so they can get the throughput because, and this is my answer to number two, because they get higher speeds with their T-Mobile LTE service than they can through a standard internet provider. That's right. That is exactly it. T-Mobile says, hey, you want to use your device for internet? That's perfectly fine. You want to utilize your service to browse and check out the banks or the news or surf Facebook or things of that nature, you go right ahead. If you're going to utilize your T-Mobile service for downloading torrents, improper reproduction, meaning copyright infringement, downloading torrents, downloading MP3s, etc., stuff that is not necessarily supported in the United States, streaming video, we would rather you didn't do that. Now, they're not saying you can't do it. They're not saying you can't. But they will start throttling customers that are still utilizing that. This was a story that came out earlier this month, I believe 2 weeks ago. They have started to execute that already. They're sending letters out to people who they speculate are doing this. I'm not one, but I know an individual who received a letter similar to this. They do a lot of torrents, okay? They just do. They also stream a lot of Netflix. That's another thing. They run in excess, I believe 50 gigs a month is currently what they're running. And T-Mobile is asking, please either get your data under 20 gigs a month, or once you get up to 20 gigs, we're going to throttle you down to 2G, 3G. Okay? Reasonable request. I mean, perfectly reasonable. T-Mobile did away with their contract planning years ago, so they can go ahead and make these changes without any issue. They can go ahead and they can do these things without any problem. They can go ahead and implement these changes without too ultimate recourse. Why? Because you're not under contract, for one. But number two, T-Mobile is looking out for their best interest. They're saying, okay, you've got unlimited data. That's perfectly fine. But reasonable usage says the average individual in a normal space will consume approximately 2 gigs of data per day, per business day. All right? At 10 gigs, you're looking at a max of 20. I spend a lot of time on a wireless network, not only at school, but also at home. I took myself off of both of those networks and seriously utilized the LTE speed in my area. And I get pretty good speeds. I get about 10 down, 5 up, depending on where I'm at in town. And I had to work really hard to use 15 gigs. Now, granted, I wasn't using it. I think I watched one Netflix movie, maybe two. Netflix, you're running about 4 gigs per movie, per 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie, depending on if you're running normal definition or high definition. Amazon's a little bit bigger because they have the high definition streaming that they always offer, various things of that nature. I haven't gotten one of these letters from T-Mobile, nor am I shooting to get one of these letters from T-Mobile. But the thing is, I have unlimited data. I have no problem using unlimited data. But flip side to that, I also recognize that if I get over 20 gigs of data in any given month, I will get throttled down to 2G, 3G. Does that bother me? No, it doesn't. Why? Because I have a wireless network at home. I have another wireless network at school that I can use. Not a problem. Every once in a while, yes, the networks, they run into problems. They have difficulties. They're not stable. Maybe they're having a bad day. Too many people trying to log on. Too many people trying to log off. Everybody trying to do their homework all at once. Fill in the blank. Any number of reasons why a network would give you issue on any given day. I get this, all right? I think on any given day, any individual, and I use the term average loosely right now, all right? Average individual should be able to consume no more than 40 gigs in any given month. That gives you a little over a gig a day, all right? right? In reality, you don't have to watch that Netflix movie on your mobile device, do you? In reality, you don't have to download that torrent on your Android device, do you? I mean, frankly speaking, if you're downloading torrents on your mobile device, first question out of my mouth is, what the fuck are you doing? Because majority of those things are coming down the pipe with a virus of some sort in it. And if you think that your Android device or your iOS device or your mobile device in any way, shape, or form is not susceptible to viruses, you need to back up and listen to some of my older shows. Because the programming language is open source, it's all one and zeros, and your device can be attacked just like anybody else's. There is malicious software, firmware, you name it, out there for any device on the market. Apple, Android, Microsoft, BlackBerry. Doesn't matter. All right? I understand. People are trying to utilize what's available to them, doing the best they can with what they have. I get that 100%. In support of it. I enjoy it. You know, I recognize that. But why would you abuse? I mean, I get the fact that if you can tether to a mobile device and get good throughput, use it. I get that. I understand that 100%. I'm in support of it. Okay? Flip side to that, though. Question that I have to ask, is that your primary internet device? I mean, I kind of understand, but it's a phone. It's not a primary internet device. I don't believe in the unlimited data thing. I never have. Even when Sprint was pushing it as hard as they were, I still wasn't sold on it. Verizon, when they were pushing it, I wasn't sold on it either. The only unlimited data package that I was completely sold on, that I signed off on, that I signed up for, that I agreed with, whatever, that I currently use, is T-Mobile. Why? Because it makes the most sense. It tells you exactly what you're getting. It gives you the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's right there in front of you, folks. 20 gigs a month. After 20 gigs, you'll get throttled. Period. It's not saying you're going to get cut off. I mean, a lot of people, oh, straight talk this, straight talk that. Good deal, bad deal, ugly deal. Well, straight talk has its good points. But you need to understand, if you go past a certain amount of data in any given month, they can shut you off at any given time. And frankly, I don't want to get shut off at any given time. I don't need that. I don't want it. I shouldn't have to worry about it. Bottom line is, if you're using, and seriously speaking, if you are utilizing more than 2 gigs of mobile data in a day, I seriously think you need to evaluate your mobile data usage. I mean, you think about it. What, 5 years ago, we were lucky to get 2 gigs of data in a month. And now we're bitching because we can't get more than, you know, 50 or 100 or 200. If you're using more than 2 gigs a day, in my personal opinion, I think you're using too much. 2 gigs a day spread out over the course of a month, you're looking between 60 and 65 gigs in a monthly cycle. And that's provided the fact that you don't do anything on the weekends. You know? And now, once again, this is a show based on opinion. My opinion. All right? So, if you don't like my opinion, please, shout out, let me know. Find me on Google+, Piper the DJ. Find me on Twitter, Piper the DJ. Send me an email, piperthedj@gmail.com. And make sure you check it in right here at the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, where you can find great shows, something trending for everybody. Spanish Announce Table, if you're into WWE and TNA, professional wrestling, hashtag tweet the table. Tunes with Jack and Brian, they have returned after a long hiatus, bringing the tunes back to the Trending Topics Network. Hashtag Tunes. Check out Old School with his panel of critics at Old School at the Movies. Hashtag Weekend Box Office. And getting back in the swing of things, myself, Pipe the DJ, right here with Trending Mobile Technology. And as a matter of fact, make sure you're checking in every day. Why? Because you never know what Mr. Old School is going to post. You never know what I'm going to put up. You never know what the guys from Tunes are going to put up. You never know what the guys from the Spanish Announce Table are going to put up. You never know what is going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.